We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So there is this one day at a faculty meeting at a well-known college. An angel shows up, looks at the dean, and says to the dean, because you have been so giving and sacrificing for others your entire life, God has decided to grant you one of three things. You get to choose. Dean thought about it, looked at the angel, said, okay. Angel said, okay, you can either have infinite wisdom, money, or beauty. Well, the dean didn't even hesitate. He just said, I want infinite wisdom. And as soon as he said it, there was a loud clap of thunder, bolt of lightning, smoke, angel disappears. Silence at the meeting, waiting for the dean to say something. Finally, one of the professors says, well, dean, say something. Well, the dean just sighed, said, I should have taken the money. Those of you who aren't laughing, you'll get it on the way home. We have choices that we have to make, right? And some of the choices we make good choices. And we're happy with our choices. But then we have those choices we make, like the dean, where we regret and we wish we could go back and change those choices, right? Does anybody never do that? I do, and I wish sometimes I could change. And it just seems harder as an adult to make choices than when we were kids. Someone told me the reason why it's harder is because the decisions are harder. I don't think that's it. I think when we were kids, we had scientific, foolproof methods of choosing that as adults we've left behind, right? If it was, at least for me growing up, if it was a simple choice, well, we just pull out our fists. One potato, two potato, three potato, four. Worked every time. If the choice was a little more complicated, it'd just be the coin flip. But if the choice was life-changing, that could change the very nature of the universe, we turned to the magic eight ball. And if you've ever used a magic eight ball, you know it never is wrong. But as an adult, well, in the Gospel of Mark, we hear a story this morning about a man who has a decision to make. A choice is given to him. And we're going to look at that choice and what it means. But now, you have to understand, this story is found in all three of the what we call the synoptic gospels. That's a fancy word. It just means Matthew, Mark, and Luke because they're so similar. And this is a story found in all three of them. But it's also different in every one in subtle ways. For example, Mark puts the story in a very specific location in his writing. He places it right after Jesus has the encounter with the children. You might remember that. Jesus is teaching the children break away from their parents and run up to Jesus. The disciples lose their mind, and they look at the children, and they try to get the children. They start lecturing the parents, and they try to get the children back to their parents, right? You know the story? And what Jesus does is he doesn't take the side of the disciples. He takes the side of the children. And he says to the children, or to the disciples, let these kids come to me. And then he picks them up in the arms, and he blesses each one of them. And when he finished blessing them, he turned to the disciples, he turned to the parents, he turned to the crowd, and he said something like, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be like one of these children. And what was he saying? He was saying, I think that if you want to enter into the kingdom, you have to be like one of these kids. You have to be that open. You have to be that real. You have to be that honest. You have to understand that you can't earn the kingdom. You can't earn it. See, that's what happened with those kids. None of them had an impressive resume. None of them had a lot of stuff. None of them had anything to the name. But Jesus, God, loved them, embraced them, blessed them, welcomed them. Because why? They were who they were. They were children of God. So that's where the story follows. If you have your Bibles open in Mark chapter 10, we're going to try to work through verse 17. Oh, just let him go. He can come up and help. Millicent's dying. Please, please. Chapter 10, verse 17. Gave you time to get to in your Bible. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man. Now, in your Bible, it is probably a little heading, if you have one, and it says something like a rich young man or a rich young ruler, right? The problem with that is he is never called a rich young man. In Mark's gospel, he is just the man. Now, we know he's rich because at the end of the gospel, it talks about all the possessions that he had. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew calls him young. In Luke's gospel, Luke calls him a ruler. How you doing? You okay? Can he climb up steps? Come on, you can help me. I'm lost now. A man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now that is a goofy question on a number of levels. Level one, right? You cannot do anything to inherit anything. You do not earn inheritance. Inheritance isn't about what you earn, it's about belonging. I inherit when I belong to a community, when I belong to a family, when I belong to a group, I inherit things. I do not earn them. So the man started off wrong. What must I do to inherit? See, and the second reason why it's goofy is because, well, what did Jesus teach these little kids? You can't earn this. So I figure the guy was either in the room not paying attention, right? Or he was playing on his smartphone, or he was one of those adults who got mad because the kids were up front with the teacher. And he wasn't paying. He didn't get it. He missed it. And so when he had his chance to go to Jesus, he asked Jesus the one question, what do I need to do? And Jesus responds, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, not commit adultery, not steal, not bear false witness, not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Now, what Jesus did when asked the question, he just rattled off the Ten Commandments. However, did you notice which ones he left off? I know. You noticed that too? It's amazing. He left off probably the most important ones. Man, you've grown, haven't you? The most important ones there are to list. He only listed... He only listed the commandments on what you guys would call the second tablet. Side note, on the Ten Commandments, all 10 were listed on one tablet. There were not 5 and 5. If that's a picture in your mind, get it out. He only listed the last 5, the ones that deal with your neighbor, the ones that deal with relationships. He didn't do the most important ones. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God before me. And so when Jesus does that, the man says, well, all of those I've kept since I was a kid. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing. Now, this is where Jesus gets clever. What Jesus wanted to say is you got all those others. What about the first two? How are you doing with having other gods other than me? How are you doing with that? But instead of that, Jesus does what Jesus does. He gave an object lesson. And he said what it looks like for this man to follow the first commandments. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, then come follow me. And then Mark says, the man was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Now, as far as I can tell, this is the only person in the Gospels who refuses to follow Jesus when he's invited. Only one I can find. And what Mark does is absolutely brilliant. This guy has been asked to give up everything that he owned, all his stuff, and he went while grieving. Now, the word Mark uses for grieving is a Greek word, and it should be on the screen behind me, and that word is only used one other time that I can find. It's used for the story Mark tells about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark uses the exact same word when he talks about Jesus grieving and sweating blood, because he was so upset, because Jesus knew that the next day he wasn't giving away his stuff, he was giving away his life. And Mark makes this comparison. Now, there is one thing I wish Mark, Matthew, Luke would have done. Just one. I wish they would have told me how in the world the man came to make that decision. You know, I'm sure he didn't do one potato, two potato, three potato. I don't think he whipped out a coin. Didn't grab the magic eight ball. How did he make the decision to walk away? And here's what I want to know. I wish I had a time machine so that I could place myself in that time machine and go back to that day so I can point out to that man where he missed it. And I couldn't be mad at him for missing it. I couldn't think he was not very bright because he missed it, because I'm going to be honest. I've missed it. I have preached this story I don't know how many times. I have taught it. I have read it. I darn near have it memorized. And I missed it. I missed the single most important part of the story. This story, it's not about the commandments. The most important part is found in verse 21, and maybe you were smarter than me. Maybe you didn't miss it. Verse 21 says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Now, what's amazing about that, in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is the only time we are told that Jesus loved somebody. This is it. We're told in John's gospel that Jesus loved Lazarus, but there's the only time in these gospels we are told Jesus loved him. And the reason why I would love to go back, I would like to take the man by his shoulders and just say, look, quit looking at the ground. Look at Jesus. I would want to say to him, before you walk away sad because you can't give up everything, look at Jesus. I would want to say to him, before you walk away broken because you're not the man you thought you were, take a moment, look at Jesus. Because see, what I want him to see when he looked at Jesus, I want him to see the love that Jesus had in his eyes for that man. And because the man wasn't looking, he missed it. And I know that look. I have felt that look. I can remember one time when I had a decision to make, and I was with my mom in the kitchen, and I had this decision to make, and it was my choice. I could choose this or that. And I looked at my mom, and she had that look. And with the look was a little smile. And I knew in that moment, no matter what I chose, whether I chose right or not so right, whether I failed or succeed, my mom was going to love me. See, that's the look Jesus had for the man. That's the look he missed. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And when Mark says, and loved him, Mark isn't talking about the kids' song, Jesus loves me, this I know. He's not talking that kind of love. And he's not talking about the love that you get on those tracks that some people like to pass out, right? Where it says, Jesus loves you so much that if you don't listen to him, you're going to go burn in hell. He's not talking that love. And he sure isn't talking the love of these bullhorn preachers who stand on the corner in my neighborhood and talk on one hand, one sentence about the love of God, and in the next breath condemns all sorts of people to hell. See, that's not the love Mark is talking about. Mark is talking about love that isn't cheap, love that costs everything. Mark is talking about this Jesus who is loving a man right in the moment before the man decided to walk away from him. Because Jesus knew. Mark is talking about the love that Jesus has for us. Because Jesus knows that sometimes we make choices out of fear, out of pride, out of shame. And we make choices we might regret. We make choices that break Jesus' heart. But the love that Mark's talking about is the love he has for you, for me, for that man. It's an unchanging, unmoving, unwavering love. And for all my preaching career, I have blown it on that story. Had it wrong. Because I always thought when Jesus said you lack one thing, I always thought what Jesus had to be talking about, and this is what I preach, that you lack the ability, the willingness, the desire to give up everything that separates you from God. But that's not the one thing. That would be easy. See, the one thing this man lacks is the one thing I am willing to bet, if you are honest with yourself, you and I lack on a regular basis. And that's the understanding, deep in our heart and our gut and our soul that God loves us not for who we are, what we do, or what we've accomplished, but simply because we are his children. See, what the man lacked is he didn't know that. And when he didn't know that, he couldn't make the right choice. You see, this story is not about our relationship with money. This story isn't even about us. Now, we like to make it about us because we like to make everything about us. This story is about God. It is about God who, even in the moment of failure, sees us completely and loves us completely. It's a story about a God who can watch us choose the wrong way, who knows we're going to turn our back on him, but yet he loves us anyway. This is a story about that God. Look, following Jesus is all about choices. It's all about choices. And when you're faced with a choice, you're not going to get the answer from potatoes, from coins, or from the eight ball. You're only going to get the answer if you stop and get a glimpse of Jesus' face when he looks at you and sees the love he has for you. Next time Jesus gives you a choice, next time you have one of those decisions to make, don't lack the one thing. Instead, take a breath. Look at Jesus and know that he loves you. You, with all your warts, with all your faults, not because you have a long list of accomplishments, not because your resume is perfect, not because your bank account is overflowing, but because you are exactly who you are, a child of God. And he looks at you, and he loves you. That's the gospel. And personally, I can think of no better news than that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you Tuesday night.